Let one slip through to the keeper. We've lost another one to Hong Kong, and he joins us. G'day, Matty.
Morning, Matty.
How are you?
Yeah, okay, thanks.
How's your tooth?
Oh, yeah, much better, thank you very much. Mate. It was pretty brutal. I'm not sure I've ever had something that's felt quite so bad, but it certainly laid me low for a few days.
I had lunch with Archie Alexander last week, and I said, what's happening with Matt Kamani? He said, oh, the bloke's in agony. I said, what's happened? He said, oh, he's got some sort of abscess or something. He was keeled over on the balcony of his stables the other day in absolute agony. But you've had it taken care of?
I have, thankfully, yeah.
Well done, well done. We've lost the Derby runner-up to Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? Really sad. Sad for the stable and for the horse, probably, but also racing in general, I think. To lose another competitive racehorse is a bit of a shame. But, you know, it does make sense from a business point of view, from the owner's point of view, and he was a lot of fun to have. Just a shame really all we managed to achieve was win a maiden. It would have been nice to win a big Group 1 and then send him on his way.
So what were the circumstances? Who's bought him and who's relinquished him?
To be honest, I don't really know. It's actually done. I got a few offers through, which I always passed on to the owner, but they were pretty well short, I think, of what I understand the final price was. But this one went straight to the owners. I think a Bloodstock agent, Cameron Cook, organised the deal. I don't know how much it was for either, I'm afraid, but I think it was a pretty hefty sum, because I'm pretty sure that they weren't too keen on selling initially. But when you get offered a big figure, I think sometimes it just makes sense, and really, it'd be silly not to take it.
Is it sort of a weird dynamic between Hong Kong and Australia, where the money seems almost ridiculous sometimes for the horse? I know the canine money, it wasn't going to stop at $3 million, and as history's proven, he probably wasn't worth it and hit the shot. It seems like it's probably $1 million plus and so on, and that was for a horse that ran second in what was regarded as not the strongest of derbies. Are you amazed at the value placed on these horses?
I am, but it does make sense to me. I mean, we are in one of the strongest racing nations in the world here in Australia. We've got great, we're producing very good quality horses, but also we've got fantastic levels of prize money. So in order to buy a horse out of this country, you have to go to those sort of levels. And really, Hong Kong is the only place in the world, I think, that could afford it. I'm delighted to be here. It's a great place to be operating from. And while it is sad to lose the odd horse, you know that if you lose one, it's because it's going for a lot of money.
How many would you have lost in the last 2 or 3 years through this sort of scenario?
Funny enough, not too many, actually. I was having a chat to Archie about it the other day. He sold a few to Hong Kong, but we haven't. I guess, you know, a lot of our horses have been bought and syndicated through with a fair few owners in them. And I think those horses are always harder or less easy to sell, because people with small shares don't make such a life-changing amount when they sell a horse, and so therefore, you know, much more interested in keeping the horse to race and actually enjoy the pleasure of racing it. Whereas if you have owners that are big sort of breeders or people who are in it from a slightly more business perspective, when the right money comes along, they sell because it makes most business sense.
It's not a particularly Australian situation either, is it? In England, a smaller trainer has a really promising horse, then sure enough, Coolmore and Godolphin are going to, at some stage, make a similar sort of offer, aren't they?
Exactly. I mean, England is really the only, it's one of the only ways to actually make money in racing is the resale market, which is sad and actually, you know, not a particularly healthy thing for the industry. It's what we saw happen a fair bit in New Zealand. You know, they sold a lot of their best bloodstock abroad, and it certainly doesn't make for a particularly pretty future. Now, hopefully they can recover, and England has such a depth of high, top-quality stock that I'm sure they can handle it. But you need to make sure that you're racing and breeding underneath it all, is supporting a continuous production of top-quality horses that you can afford to lose the odd one or two abroad.
How's post-COVID summer looking for you? I mean, post-COVID, in that things are starting to open up, the crowds will start coming back, your owners will be going to the races without so much so many hoops to jump through when they get there. How do you think things are looking for summer?
I think it'd be great, actually. The owners, you know, we're all going to have to do a little bit more work, I think. It's been relatively easy for us. We go to the races and we can sit down and do a bit of work between races and just watch, you know, get the horses to the race. But now, you know, we have to get back into the groove of doing our other job, which is a bit more akin to entertainment and chatting up our clients, making sure that they're having a good day out. But I think, you know, COVID's really improved the owners lot, really, because, you know, as trainers, I think a lot of us have developed new ways of communicating with our owners and improving our business skills. And when we come out of the COVID lockdowns, it's not like we're going to all go back to our previous ways. We're going to continue those ways of keeping in touch with our owners, plus be actually able to see them much more regularly on track here in training and at the racecourse.
Yeah, absolutely. Hard-nosed Hong Kong racing scribe Hatz Aiken's going to join us in a sec, Matty, to talk about the international trial meeting that was held at Sha Tin last Sunday with a few big performances, and then looking ahead to the international meeting in December. And I'm going to ask him about how he thinks Hit the Shot may fit in over there. What's your guesstimate about how successful that horse might be when he's called Hong Kong Dragon or something like that in a few weeks' time?
I think he'll go very well, actually. I think he'll really suit Hong Kong. He's not a sort of overly big, heavy horse. He's very, very sound. He's got a really good mind on him. And I think he's a horse that can really improve. So I'll be watching him very closely, and I really think he'll do well. He's got a good trainer over there, and as far as I understand, and he goes there in great shape. So there's plenty left in the tank with that horse.
All right, terrific. Matty, well done with what you did achieve with Hit the Shot. It's always a bit disappointing when you don't get to put the final brush strokes on the artwork, but that's the situation that we find ourselves in here, and that's certainly the situation with Hit the Shot. Best of luck over summer.
Great, thanks a lot, Matty.